Hi, this is Hudson Mohawk Network correspondent Imani Taylor, and I'm here with an old friend of the sanctuary, Joe. Thank you for coming here. How are you, Joe?
Very well. Thank you for having me.
Could you tell me a little bit about yourself? What do you do for work? What are some of your hobbies?
Yes, I am still a licensed architect, although I'm retired from active practice. And hobbies, I don't have any. Gardening, gardening is my... And still, I'm involved with the sanctuary. And I used to run the community land bank. I'm still with the community land bank on a couple of projects. And for 43 years, I ran TAP Incorporated, and I'm happily still there from time to time, working on one thing or another. It's like most people who retired. I'm as more busy than I wanted to be, and happy, but happily retired.
If you don't mind my asking, or if you don't mind sharing, how old are you?
In 2 weeks, I'll be 71.
Wow. So would you say you grew up in the computer era?
Oh, gee, no.
What does that mean to you when I say that?
Well, when you, for example, I would say the computer era, to me, is the period of time when all of a sudden virtually every desk had a computer on it. By the time I graduated college, which was because I was an architect, it was 1971 I graduated college. I think at that point there was still only one computer on campus. It was in a room in the Amos Eaton, and it was a great big computer. And I took one course in computer programming when I was in college, and I actually was typing punch cards. And I studied Fortran and learned how to write a program. And I learned it wasn't for me. Never bothered with it again. And most of the people in my architecture class who became architects don't even use the computer for computer-assisted drafting, for CAD work. They hire people, younger people like yourself, who are more comfortable around a computer to do that. I made that decision when I was running TAP that I wasn't going to bother to learn CAD drafting because... I think I just was too old to really make that adjustment. I do use a computer now all the time. Mm-hmm. I could spend a whole day doing Photoshop. I love Photoshop. I find Excel to be a tremendous asset to work with and stuff like that. So I do use the computer, but I'm barely scratching the surface of it today. So, yeah, and the story I want to tell... Oh, do you have more questions before I get into my boring story?
Just for those who don't know, what is TAP?
TAP is the actual name of it is TAP Incorporated, and it's Detroit Architectural Program. And it's to make a very loose analogy, it's a little bit like an architectural version of legal aid. We try to provide design services to people in the city of Troy and very definitely want to try and reach out to organizations like the Sanctuary and people like the folks who live in this neighborhood, who especially those that want to fix up a building for themselves and to provide the architectural services for them at the lowest possible cost that we can so that people can work on their own buildings in their own neighborhoods. Right. And it's very gratifying work. I enjoyed my opportunity to do that for all those years.
So you can go ahead. Okay. I'm very intrigued with the story you have to tell.
Well, I can't tell you what year it is, but you can post-figure it out because it was the year that St. Helens blew, the volcano in the northwest corner of the United States. Mount St. Helens was a volcano that blew into a tremendous explosion. I mean, it was a major volcanic eruption. TAP is one of many community design centers that are neighborhood-based, many of them are university-based, projects almost always involve with architecture students and some combination of design assistance and social welfare kinds of projects throughout the country. And at the time this story occurred, Apple was just beginning to spread its wings. Apple had made kind of a big splash, and they were starting to give away computers to create networks that so people could all over the country could talk to one another. And we applied, there was a group called the Community Design Assistance Center or something like that. It was a coalition of groups like ours in Troy. And there was one in Berkeley, there was one in North Carolina, there was one in Mississippi, there was one in Philadelphia, another one in Pittsburgh. There were a dozen, probably two dozen at the time, community design centers. And Apple gave us all a computer. This was so long ago, it was before there were Macs. So we got, this might mean something to somebody else, but I think we got 2G or 2Es. That was the name of the computer. It was a way old computer, but it had the capacity to communicate with all these other computers because it was the beginnings of they were trying to promote the internet. And what happened was that we didn't use it at all as a network. Because each community design center had its own state, its own code department, its own architectural problems. And there was very little that we talked about on a regular basis. So it just never developed as a network. But we were very grateful to have the computer because all of a sudden we had a computer to write letters with. It was the first computer. We were dazzled. So all of a sudden, Mount St. Helens erupted, and the thing goes nuts. I start getting input, not just from community design centers, but from everybody, like from all over the country. I start getting this information coming into us about Mount St. Helens. And I'm looking at it, and there are people writing that Mount St. Helens was a conspiracy, that somehow this was... I don't know, whatever your point of view was, if you believed the communists were bad, you thought it was a communist conspiracy. If you thought the communists were good, you thought it was a right-wing conspiracy. It was like, it was a volcano, for God's sake. And I turned to my wife, who was our office administrator, and I said, Barbara, we've just gotten in contact with every lunatic in America. And I have never quite shaken that sense of what the internet is, an opportunity to listen to every aberrant set of thoughts that people have all over the world. And the older it gets, the more it seems to me that's the way the internet is. That's my story of my introduction to the internet.
That's a great story. So I want to ask you, you talked about the big old clunky computers.
Yep.
Now we have computers that can fit in our pockets.
Yes.
Do you have a smartphone?
I do. But the only reason I have a smartphone is because my flip phone broke.
So that was another question I was going to ask is, how do you use your phone differently now than you did any older phone? And talking about the internet as being a way to listen to everyone.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I'd rather have my flip phone. I don't use my smartphone. I like having it for a camera. Mm-hmm. I like having the weather. Mm-hmm. I have virtually no apps on it. And I see people all over the place who seem to have their head on into their smartphone for 80% of their day, as near as I can see. I mean, if you get on a bus, 80% of the people are looking at their smartphones. Mm-hmm. And that's just not how I was used to living my life. And I can remember, too, many years after the story I told, when everybody at our office at TAP had a computer on their desk. And some of the people there who were 20 years younger than me, I thought of them as, you know, young people who knew computers. And they were old enough to say, I didn't want to spend my whole life in front of a computer. I want to be out in the field. I want to see people building things. I want to meet with clients. Mm-hmm. I don't just want, you know, to do the CAD drafting here. I'm interested in doing more than that. And I was surprised, but it's a remarkable tool. I'm not blind to that. It's an amazing, remarkable tool. Like all things with that much power, it can get ugly real fast. And it can take your whole life away. And worse, it could be used for bad ends. I'm fighting it. I'm literally not just not trying. I'm trying not to spend more than an hour a day on my smartphone.
All right. Well, we're pushing on time here.
Okay.
And that's really all I wanted to ask you.
Well, thanks very much. It was kind of fun.
Thank you for coming, Joe.